Please be seated. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Suppose that this is Low Sunday. That's what we're told in the prayer book. There's many stories about where this came from. The actual origin of the term is somewhat obscure. Nobody knows. There's different ideas about where it came from. Of course, some of us joke when we say that it means attendance takes a nosedive after Easter, so it's more attendance Sunday. But the one thing that is true about this, the liturgy is less solemn. That means not as intricate or fancy as it was on Easter Sunday. Last week at our church and other churches, they have the Easter Vigil, where you get the blessing of the new fire, the new water, the prophecies, the Old Testament prophecies, talking about our creation, our fall with Adam in the sin, and the method of God's deliverance from the Hebrews, from the Egyptians, and so on. And so that leads into the first Mass of Easter. So all that's very intricate. So we leave some of that behind. Today, one of the most certain things about today is the propers lead us to those catechumens who were in the old days, in some churches, if they have candidates for baptism, are baptized during that first Mass of Easter, or prior to the first Mass of Easter, so that they can be admitted to the communion. So with a new fire, new water, then these catechumens are baptized, so that they become part of a church and can receive communion. I have a reading from St. Augustine speaking of this day in terms of what this really means. What we're talking about here when the gospel passage that I read, of course, this is the, it starts out that same day at evening. That's actually Easter night. So our Lord shows himself to them. But let me read this from St. Augustine. It's a reading from one of his sermons, and it's called A New Creation in Christ. I address myself to you, newly baptized infants, little ones in Christ, new offspring of the church, grace of the Father, fruitfulness of the mother's womb, holy children, new swoon, flower of our honor, fruit of our labor, my joy and my crown, all of you who stand upright before the Lord. So this is talking about those newly baptized. I address you to the words of the apostle, and this is the admonition to those that come and surrender for baptism. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires, so that ye may put on the life which ye have put on in this sacrament, baptism. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye all are one in Christ Jesus. As if speaking of the engrafting of us, we become part of that body in baptism. We're engrafted in the church. The rootstock is Holy Mother Church, and we're grafted in as branches of that rootstock, which is Jesus Christ himself. Such is the efficacy of this sacrament. It is the sacrament of the new life, which begins at the present time by the forgiveness of all past sins, but will only be completed in the resurrection of the dead. We have been buried with Christ by baptism into death, so that as Christ has arisen from the dead, we too may walk in newness of life. Now we walk by faith as long as you journey in this mortal body, far from the Lord. But Jesus Christ, towards whom you are moving, is a sure way. So speaking about, we don't see him, but we do see him in the sacrament. But as far as seeing him bodily like the apostles did, yes, he is far away in that sense. He is in this humanity which he took on for us. He is in reserve an abundance of sweetness for those who fear him which will manifest and perfect in those who hope in him, when we shall receive in reality what we have now received in hope. St. Paul talks about what we see darkly through a glass, but at the point when we meet him, we'll see him as he is. Today is the octave of your birth. Today is perfected in you the seal of faith, which was given among our fathers of old on the eighth day after physical birth through the physical circumcision. So too the Lord himself, by rising, cut away mortality from the flesh and raised up not a different body, but one that would die no more. This he did on the Lord's day, the third day after his passion, the eighth day after the Sabbath, which is also the first. So you have not received, in fact, the glory of the resurrection, but you have the sure hope of receiving it, since you have the sacrament of that reality and the pledge of the Spirit. If you have risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So this is the new life that comes at baptism. This isn't Low Sunday at all. This is less fancy than Easter Sunday, but it's all here. We move into that which Christ gave us. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but first of all, in order to have a church, we have to have a bishop, and that Christ sets that forth here on the night of the resurrection. We'll read the passage that I read at the beginning. And when he had received this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. This is our Lord giving the consecration to the apostles, the first line of bishops. They would give it to other bishops and other bishops beyond them, until we have now our sitting bishop, Archbishop Mark Haviland. Without this, we wouldn't have the sacred ministry. We wouldn't have priests. We wouldn't even have deacons. And it is said by one, where there is bishop, there is a church. Where there is no bishop, there is no church. We come to communion. You have those who don't understand the fullness of what the sacrament of communion is, what it is. It's everything that God is. If you have someone challenge you on that and say, well, how can bread and wine become the body of Christ? I would answer them, and you might answer them, do we all believe in the virgin birth of our Lord? Of course, any true Christian would believe that. Can we explain it? I can't. Easter time, we think, of course, above all things, the greatest thing that ever happened on this earth was the resurrection of our Lord, the physical and bodily resurrection of our Lord. Can we explain it? I can't. The communion. So how does this bread and this wine become Christ's body and blood? We believe it because he said so. When he instituted the Eucharist on that first Maundy Thursday, this is my body, this is my blood. Can we explain it? No, we can't. But I would say to those that challenge that, if God can become incarnate from a virgin mother, can he, in that same God who became incarnate, can he rise physically from the dead? Can he not, in fact, change this bread and wine into his very body and blood? I believe it. I definitely believe that. When we come to the communion today, when I administer the host, you may notice as I administer it, it will have a reddish-violet spot. Our priest down in Charleston has graciously intincted all these hosts with the precious blood, so that when you receive today and when you come here, when I come here in subsequent times, you will be receiving in both kinds. So I just give a little bit of something extra for you come faithfully, and we want to give you the very best when we bring the sacrament to you. So again, I end with these words. He says in the epistle here, St. John says, "For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."